Job. Chapter number 4, I'm going to be very brief tonight, much more brief, I should say, than typically on Wednesday night because the hour's late. It's New Year's Eve. I'm so glad that you're here on New Year's Eve, closing out 1 year, bringing in another one at least for the hour that we're here. And so thank you for being here. This is where I'd rather be than anywhere else, of course, for both of those occasions. In Job 4, there's a metaphor that Eliphaz uses to illustrate sort of the fragile nature of the brevity of life. Verse 19 says, "How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it." Now, of course, we don't typically look at observations by men like Eliphaz as always reliable. I mean, sometimes Eliphaz gave some really bad counsel to his friend Job. And in that case, the Bible, you understand, isn't condoning the counsel. It's merely recording it as part of the whole story. We have the counsel of the Apostle Peter. You'll recall in Scripture when he told Jesus not to die. "No, not so, Lord." And our Lord Jesus rejected it on the spot. The Bible records the opinion of the 10 spies. But of course, it certainly doesn't condone their words and their opinion. God does not condone the cynicism of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes. So you can't quote the cynicism and say, "Well, that's a truism." No, it's recorded in the Bible for our understanding, so much of it, of what you look at, life under the sun, and so it goes. And with Eliphaz, now this counsel that he has, he's clearly mixing truth with his opinion. And I got to tell you, it's never really hard to discern when something is just his opinion. In this case, Eliphaz talks about a moth and houses made out of clay. And one reason why we know what he says about this is valid is that later in this same book, the book of Job, Job actually agrees with it, and even later, our Lord Jesus affirms the very same metaphor and illustration. Chapter 4, verse 17, again, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, He put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moths. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it." In other words, Eliphaz says, there's a vast, uncrossable chasm between God the Creator and all of his creation. Man himself, you and I here tonight, man was formed, the Bible says, from dust, and then he builds houses out of the same dust. So that, you know what? Think about that. We are houses of clay who dwell in houses of clay. And as fragile and temporary and easily undone, we, the Bible says, are crushed even before something that he brings up called the moth. Now, you know the fragility of a moth. We preached on it before. You can crush a moth between your fingers very easily. You can simply brush it off of your shoulder and you will crush it and destroy it. So what is it then that Job himself says about houses of clay and about these moths? You'll notice on your screen, chapter 13, verse 28, just to turn there. "And he is a rotten thing consumed as a garment that is moth-eaten." There's a word picture. Job also says in chapter 27, verse 18, "He buildeth his house as a moth." And he says, "as a booth that the keeper maketh." He's talking about these little temporary booths, these shelters and these huts that were in the vineyard that day workers would stay in for a bit. And a moth's dwelling, it is as crushable and temporal as the man himself. And this is where it gets, for me at least, even more interesting. Because six verses later in that chapter, Job says, "Iron, iron is taken out of the earth. Now look, you probably know that iron is the single most abundant element by mass on all of Earth. Earth's core, you think about how much mass that is. Earth's very core is almost entirely made up of iron. And of course, faraway planets and asteroids and meteors are almost entirely made out of iron. And so what was it Jesus said about moths and iron, since Job brings it up? Notice on the screen this familiar text. Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now, of course, rust is typically iron oxide. We used to weld steel, me and my buddies who worked at Thrall Car Manufacturing Company in Chicago Heights, Illinois, and we were constructing railroad boxcars in the 70s. That steel was, all steel is an alloy, of course, but yet, when you left it out in the snow, when they left it very long out in the rain, it started to rust, and it was the iron in the steel that caused it to rust. It is in exactly that way that moths and rust are the same. Slow, natural, inevitable decay. And of course, folks, what our Lord and Job are saying with all of this is a matter of security, is a matter of hope, it's a matter of treasure, a matter of investment. When the Bible says the wicked builds his house like a moth, and moths build their houses by eating into a garment, he is ultimately eating himself out of house and home. In fact, when a moth-eaten garment was shaken, and they would take them out, see how destroyed they were, the moth and his house were destroyed instantly at the same time. Just like the wicked, this is what Job is saying in our text, just like the wicked all around us, a moth's house is the product of devouring somebody else's property. It's why a lot of moth cocoons, you may know this, are the same color as the fabric that they themselves destroyed. So, hear this. What the Bible says about this is basically one thing. Don't envy the wicked that build these fancy homes. If they're wicked and they're building them by eating other people's garments and homes and so forth, don't envy them. Don't fret over them. And definitely don't strive to be like unto them. And when it comes to rust, Jesus says, do not set your heart on things that do so, that things that rust. Therefore, you will not spend your life in dread, sitting around, watching your investment diminish and decay, which is exactly what rust does. In fact, now, beloved, please hear this. The main emphasis in Matthew 6 is worry. Over and again, the Lord Jesus is telling his people, his disciples, you and me, over and again, he's telling us, do not worry, do not fret, do not be afraid, and how worry is directly connected to wherever your heart and your treasure is stored. Anything that rusts, which means decays, anything that can be moth-eaten, all the metals and all the fabrics, all the houses made of clay, anything that rusts, anything that can decay, can also be lost. As a matter of fact, we say, all of it's going to burn. It is going to burn, but it's already right now being lost. Slowly, quietly, and over time. And you know what that means? That means that everything that you have that can rust, you got a car out there in the parking lot? Man, I tell you what, when we lived in Chicago, and then Michigan, Chicago 5 years, Michigan 2 years, they salt the roads. It didn't take long for those cars to rust. No matter how much protection they put on them. You have an automobile out there that you treasure and you love and you cherish, and you and the bank own it. It's rusting right now. It's quiet. It's slow. Everything that you have, therefore, needs to be maintained. It needs to be polished. It needs to be cleaned. It needs to be managed, insured, and defended. And hear this, what all of that means. This is where Jesus gets to it. What that means is that all of this stuff leads you to anxiety. The fact that you have something that's valuable to you and it's fading away, that, Jesus says, is what leads you to anxiety, to worry, to fret. Because what you put your heart in, your heart fathers your treasure. What you put your treasure and your heart in, if it's fading away, in other words, look, if something can rust, it demands your worry. If something is eternal, it invites your trust. You know, in 1622, the Atocha, part of the Spanish treasure fleet, sank off the Florida Keys. Many of you know this story, especially if you live in this area. This galleon was carrying hundreds and hundreds of eight escudos, they're called. Eight escudos. They're 21 grams of gold in one coin. That shipwreck was discovered in 1985 by Mel Fisher. Now think about that for a moment. For 363 years, those gold coins lie at the bottom of a salt water grave. Salt water. And while the wood rotted, and the iron corroded, and the bones and the clothes vanished in decay, the gold, which does not rust, as a picture of what Jesus talked about and what Paul talked about in Corinthians, gold, precious stone, silver, the gold in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean that does not rust is to this day worth well over $500 million. It's still shiny, almost four centuries. It's still pure. It is still gold. You see, Mel Fisher did not spend 14 years and a lot of money and a lot of risk and a lot of ridicule. He didn't spend 14 years looking for 400-year-old nails because they would have rusted away. Iron. All that Jesus is teaching was simply this. Go ahead and protect and polish and clean and defend your iron and your fabric down here. Because you have to as a steward, yes. But do not, Jesus said, do not set your heart upon it. Jesus said, as far as your heart, that means your love and your affection, set your affections, your trust and your hope, set your affection, Jesus said, on things above. Treasure should be there, where moth and rust do not corrupt. I'll put it this way. Our Lord does not want His people, and we are His people tonight. He does not want His people spending, damaging their lives through envy, worry, and dread. And 2026 would absolutely be the least fearful year of your life ever if this year you do not rest on rust. If you don't treasure the things that shall pass away, and in fact, as Job's illustration shows with the moth, are passing away. Heaven's treasures do not require constant protection. Do you ever think about that? All the treasures of heaven that God has given you and that are eternal, they don't require our worry and our fret because they don't require our protection. But that which corrodes requires your concern if it also has your heart. I have a gold ring on. Louise made this ring herself because she worked for a jeweler at the time. It's decades and decades and decades and decades old. This coming May would have been our 47th anniversary. It's pretty old. But it hasn't rusted. It's still shiny. It's still gold. It's still valuable. Do you know what isn't valuable or shiny anymore? My Florida State Little League football baseball trophies. Those things started peeling away and rusting before I ever graduated high school. They're in a dump somewhere. I remember one time the bat fell off. The bat broke off of my baseball trophy. And I thought, oh no. I was a kid. Those things rust, decay. If you're invested that much in things down here, then that's where your fear will arise. My first suit. My grandma bought me that suit up in Indiana at the Lake City Mall. She had a crush, my freshman year in Bible college, she had a crush on Arnold Palmer. And so she bought me an Arnold Palmer suit. Had a little umbrella right here. Size 32. I could still wear it. No, I couldn't. But where is it? I don't know. That thing has been long gone. Not just because I can't fit it anymore. It was long gone when I could wear it. My first car. I paid $500 for my first car in Indian Town. It was a Renault. French car. I was going to drive it all the way to Chicago. I got to Vero Beach and it... That was as far as I got. Never saw it again. $500 car, gone. Look, I'm just saying this. For this coming year, for your own spiritual health, matter of fact, for our own physical, mental, spiritual, and as a body, social health, let us trust less, a lot less, in anything that can rust, and a lot more in what can never be taken away. Let's store in our lives where rust cannot reach. That's what Jesus is saying. Up there, rust can't reach it. Neither can thieves. That's where you don't have to worry about it. So if your heart is here and only in the things here, that's why you're worrying so much. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Rust causes anxiety. Eternity creates rest. Simply put, if rust can reach it, and that's everywhere, right? If rust can reach it, then you should not be resting on it. There's a new restaurant on Donald Ross Road. It's actually an old restaurant. It used to be the Garden City Grill. Now it's called The Rusty Hook. The Rusty Hook. I thought about that title. You know, my grandpa was a fisherman, big-time fisherman. He had 8 or 9 different tackle boxes in his garage, and he only used one. So I'd go through the 7 or 8 or 9 other ones, and there would be all these rusty, clumped together hooks. Rusty hook is not a good thing. I don't know this restaurant. These names, the one down the road here, it's Casa Tequila. Oh, kids, let's load in the van and go to the House of Booze for dinner tonight. They don't think these names through. But the rusty hook. You need a tetanus shot before you get your meal. I don't know. There's nothing good about a rusty hook. I wouldn't name my restaurant the Rusty Spoon. The Rusty Seatbelt. There's nothing good about rust. And so, Job and our Lord Jesus says, look at the things around you. And if moths can eat it away, and if rust can eat it away, and if time itself can wear it away, do not set your affections on those things. Because then you'll live all of this coming year in worry and fret. But if you look at that car out there that's rusting right now, you say, that's the Lord's car. It's just a tool. It's the Lord's car. And then if somebody runs into it in the parking lot while you're shopping and you come outside, say, Lord, look what they did to your car. There's a lot of freedom in this. Set your affections on things above, Jesus said, and not on things on the earth. You need these things in many regards, but you don't set your heart on them. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that all of us in this room will approach this coming year with far less fear and dread and worry, unnecessary. We'll approach it with far, far less because we trust you far more. We value you. We value souls and eternal things, your word, the work that you're doing in our lives and our neighbor's life. We value those things, our neighbor himself, more than what our neighbor may have taken. Please help us to hear the counsel of your word and this year embrace it more than ever. Give us that liberty. Give us that freedom that comes when we have no fear or worry. And we'll praise you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.